It's Tuesday, May 3rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Here, I got a great show lined up for you, and yes, I am extremely pleased that UBL is no longer on the face of the earth. Well, at least in body. Well, his body is, but it's definitely his soul isn't. But anyway, lots to talk about tonight. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the very stormy studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and yes, it has been like crazy weather here in Honolulu over the past 2 or 3 hours, and so crazy and such that those of you that are watching on the net, let me actually bring this up, and you guys will be able to see what I've been seeing here. But yeah, we got some thunderstorms, flash flood warnings going through, and up until just before the show started, we could hear thunder and lightning in the background. Yes, I am absolutely insane in doing this show when there's a thunder and lightning show, you know, thunder and lightning going on. But so far, the lights haven't flickered. So if I just disappear, it is what it is. Everything is on backups. It is critical. But we kill power to a bunch of systems when the lights go out. And I have never had the power go out during a show. So it will be what it will be. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that we can make it the full 70 minutes or so here without losing juice. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being part of the family here. And, of course, thanks for staying subscribed. Thank you for sharing the information about the show with your friends, family members, coworkers, people that you know. It's the most important part. That's how we build our audience here like wildfires through you spreading the word about the show with people that you talk with. And of course, we want to welcome listeners from 182 countries across this great planet, and I want to thank them for continuing being subscribed as well. Hey, if you are new to the show, well, I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. This thing's really recorded every Monday and Thursday night, released every Tuesday and Friday, and then usually I have a Saturday morning tech show as well. We'll be talking about a change in the schedule this coming Saturday for that. But we also have the Gadget Professor on board with us every Thursday. And starting next week on the 9th, we'll be introducing a new show to GNC. I'll be talking more about that show on Friday's podcast. But I look forward to having a Monday release, Monday morning or Monday midday release of a new show coming here to GNC. A little bit different. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. And it's being hosted by someone I have known for a number of years. I've worked with it at Raw Voice. Matter of fact, he was one of the folks that helped organize one of our big parties in Las Vegas. And so I'm sure some of you may know who that is. If you don't, he will have an introduction here later in the week. But most important thing is if you are new, get subscribed to the show. You can find that via the second column of the website. It has a link with all the different information there that you're going to need. You can see there are some subscribe button and also links to the show page so you can get subscribed to the audio, the video, the special media feed, Morning Tech Show, the Gadget Professor via iTunes, Zoom Marketplace, or just your standard podcatcher that you're using on your mobile device, or, you know, iPad or iPod. So I want to encourage you to get subscribed, and that way you'll never miss a single episode. The newsletter, which is put out immediately following the show, really contains everything that I covered during the podcast. And it's important that if you want to be informed of what's going on, that you get subscribed to the newsletter. And that way you'll basically have all the show notes right there in front of you when you either wake up in the morning and check your email. Number one, it's a reminder that the show has been put out. Number two, you'll be able to kind of do a quick look of the articles that I've covered in the previous evening show. So get subscribed to the newsletter as well. You'll find a link to the newsletter on the website at geeknewscentral.com as well. If you're watching us tonight on the Roku, if you're watching us tonight on Ustream, welcome. Of course, if you're watching it live.geeknewscentral.com, thank you very much for watching there as well. We're up on our Amazon Flash Media Encoder server over there. That's where the best image is. Matter of fact, Andy McCaskey was talking during our Saturday show. He just could not get over the quality of the stream, and I'm pretty pleased with it myself. And total bill for everything I do on Amazon, that everything I did in May came to about $25. So we're going to get a real, April, we're going to get a true test in May to see how big the bill is to do 8 shows, actually probably closer to 12 shows up on the net, and then let it stream about 10 hours afterward as well before we flip it back to the folks at Ustream for replay, let them kind of carry the replay load. But best thing is no advertisements on the live stream right now. So that's at live.geeknewscentral.com. All right, let me go ahead. And of course, I want to thank our sponsors. This is start of a new month. And really, they're here for me and they keep the lights on. And they keep me from having to hound you guys incessantly for donations. Of course, we do appreciate anyone that's become an insider. I'm going to talk a little bit about a special deal that I've got going on for insiders this coming weekend as well. So we've got a special event that I'm going to be holding that I'm going to include them on. So I want to thank those of you that are insiders, but of course I want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor here. And of course I want to thank the folks over at Citrix GoToMeeting as well. I'm playing on the computer here at the same time trying to find a file. And I want to thank them for being really long and steady sponsors of the show here. And they have really come through, and it's basically I put food on my table because of those two sponsors, and without them really things would be a lot different around here. So it's I do appreciate it. And the folks over at Citrix, and excuse me, the folks over at GoDaddy had heard me talking about my experience with their shared hosting plan, and they have basically given me a deal to pass on to you guys that is unbelievable. Now, I posted it up last night or the day before, and it went live on May 1st. And this deal is unlike anything that they've ever really put together for me. And it's going to mean huge, 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 huge savings for you. So what they're going to do is they're going to offer you deluxe hosting for the price of economy. So they have, I think it's, we can actually go over there and look at the website. But the deluxe plan, that didn't go to the link. I have to fix that. So let's go over to this link. Their economy plan is $4.99 a month. Okay. Deluxe is $7.99 and their ultimate plan is $14.99. So you can get the deluxe plan with 150 gigs of hard drive space, unlimited websites and bandwidth, 500 emails, 25 MySQL databases. You get some Google ad credits, $100 worth. You know, right there, it's going to pay for it. $50 Bing Yahoo ad credits, $50 in Facebook ad credits. And, you know, here you are. You're going to get $200 in ad credits. And I've used these before on different types of deals when I've signed up for different accounts with GoDaddy. And you just go over to Google and you enter the code and boom, you got $100 worth of free advertising. So think about that. You're going to get $200 in free advertising for a website that's going to cost you $60. Okay, $60 for a year. You know, it's $4.99 times 12, it's just $5, you know, $5 a month. So you're not going to have to pay the $8 plan and pay $96. You're going to get this for $60, okay? And plus you're going to, this is a no-brainer. It really isn't. And, but when you get over to GoDaddy, you got to use my promo code, okay? Number one, you can click on the link on the website and you're going to see at the top, you're going to see special offer, deluxe hosting for the price of economy. If you don't see that, when you load the web page, you can come back over to Geek News Central and you're going to find that the code is Geek ECO. Geek ECO. Now, of course, all of these codes are at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, all the great deals that we have available. So, you know, let's say you're not in the market for a hosting account, okay? Don't worry, I've got lots of other cool stuff. If you're a new customer over there, I can get you 25% off on any deal, CES 25. You can use promo code Geek199 to get $1.99 if you're a new customer. If you're not a new customer, you can use my promo Todd20. That'll get you 20% off on a 1-year shared hosting account. ComSale, ComSale 2, Geek. Just the list goes on, and the variety of deals. No one's got a better selection of promo codes that don't expire that you can use even on renewals of .coms. So come over here, check this out. Get this great deal on hosting. I mean, this is fantastic. It really is. I was like, wow. I paid for a premium, an ultimate account. I should have bought the premium. I could have waited and I could have saved some money, but they knew I was having so much fun with the account that I set up and was basically testing their hosting service that they came back and said, hey, Todd, this is a deal. We're making this available, and this is really a special offer. So I want to thank GoDaddy for putting this up for us and making it available. So definitely check them out. And again, thank to our sponsor here at GoDaddy.com. All right, let me go ahead here and get into my list of stuff. I got a stack of stuff. We got to get a lot of tech to talk about tonight. Big news, of course, obviously. Usama bin Laden is dead. Navy SEALs, SEAL Team 6 went in. President came on the television late last night. I was actually at a Sam's, and we were picking up some grocery items. Don't know why. I know why we stopped in there. The Sam's here in Hawaii has sushi. And I told my wife, they probably got sushi. It was late in the, it was like 5 here in Honolulu time. And they usually discount them so you can get like $10 sushi for $5. So I said, let's go in there and see what they got for a deal. And we did. We went in and got a couple small trays, enough just for dinner. And we were on our way home after picking my son up at his robotics thing. And I got a text. And there was basically, it was a buddy of mine. He said, woohoo, we got him. He's dead. And I'm like, that's kind of a weird text. And I replied back and I said, who's dead? Was this for me? And he replied back to me, woohoo, UBL's dead. So I got informed via text message while I was in Sam's. And it was kind of funny. It really was. But we came back and watched the news. Of course, that's been dominating headline news here over the last 24 hours. But being a retired military guy and had been involved heavily in the early parts of the right after 9/11, I'm happy to see him no longer on the face of the earth. And I hope that the SEAL Team 6 basically were able to gather up as much stuff as they could. And I hope the stuff that they found is able to make them able to really go in and tear that network apart even more. So it's good news for us. And either regards of your politics or your thoughts on this whole thing, it's just, you know, this guy, we've been hunting him for a long time, and it's good to see him no longer breathing, for a better word. Hey, I do have a little bit of news to share with you guys, and I'm just going to take, boy, I'm already long here. Let me talk just a second. Over the past month or so, I've had a very persistent offer to buy Geek News Central. There has been negotiations gone back and forth. I had some ideas on what the property was worth, knowing how much it was bringing me in income, how much the show value was, the audience size. And, you know, I wasn't going to leave you. Don't worry. I wasn't going anywhere. But really, there was a big push to buy the property. And I have walked away from that deal. It was a good learning experience. It was interesting for me to negotiate what the actual property is worth. And it was a great offer. My wife questions my sanity on whether or not I made the right decision or not. But at the same point, we're not done here with what we want to do. I'm not done here by a long shot in building this thing out. And we're just talking about geeknewscentral.com. We're not talking about anything else. We're talking about my personal site, this show. And it just was not worth the disruption, for a better word. And I basically told the parties that I was going to be talking about this on my show. I did not. And this was after I said, basically, I'm walking away from the offer. I'm not going to mention any names, but I do want to say that I'm very honored to have been considered for a buyout, for this property to have been considered for a buyout. And we're just going to leave it at that. But the folks that I dealt with were fantastic. And in the short term, I'll probably question myself a number of times. But in the long term, you guys are here with me. We've built too much of a relationship together. And the show must go on and it's going to continue. And I'll let you know at some point if this is in play again. But I just want to let you know I was not going to walk away no matter what. I don't, quite frankly, don't think this show would survive with a different host in the way it is structured today. But it is what it was. And we're going to continue with what we do here just as we are now. So I just wanted to share with that with you. And there's going to be no Saturday tech show. And the reason for that is I'm going to be doing a private webinar and we haven't made this announcement yet to our content creators over at Raw Voice, but I'm going to be starting a webinar. There's going to be a webinar for all our content creators that's starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time on Saturday. It's going to be hosted by me. We could have a couple thousand people show up for the webinar. We're going to make the announcement on a Wednesday. But what I'm going to do is everyone that's an insider here at Geek News Central, I'm going to send you guys a special invite. You guys are going to be able to come and attend that if you want to. And I'm not going to go into the topics on what we're going to talk about here, but if you're an insider, I'm going to let you in on the conversation. So feel free. You'll get an email from that will invite you to that. So thank you for those of you being an insider. It's what being an insider is all about, is getting in on the inside and kind of watching things behind the scene. What else? Gadget Professor, new show will come out on Thursday. Keep advised of that. Of course, we're launching the new show on the 9th. I'll talk about that in the next show. And of course, I did have a thing come into the show basically from one of our listeners saying, hey, Todd, I kept coming to your site and I kept seeing your old show. Please remember, go to the website and click on the podcast link. And that's basically at the top of the show. And you're going to find the latest episode right there at the top. If you're counting to see what's on the live stream, when I'm playing it is going to be in rotation. You could have some older shows in the rotation. So if you want to see the most current show on the website, you want to view on the website, click on the podcast link on the website at geeknewscentral.com. And the very first entry there will be the latest episode. And you'll be able to watch right there the latest stuff. Now, the video comes out about 6 hours later than the audio does, just because we've got to process it, upload it, and everything else. So be aware that that's the case, that could be a little bit extended. All right, let's go ahead and take care of one last little piece of business here before we get into the content. And, you know, meetings are really essential. And this has been a month of meetings for me, really. And I went into my practice again of leaving my GoToMeeting session open. And then as I'm talking to people on phone, I just invite them in. It's kind of funny because I have to make sure that they're actually logged out before I get the next client in. I just leave the same session open and back and forth. It's been really cool. And I actually have to make sure people log off, because if I'm showing my screen and I start doing something privately and they're still on, they can still see it. But I've been able to use GoToMeeting in a new way. It's basically consecutively boom, 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 boom. Have clients, talk with them, do meetings, do proposals, go through stuff. And it's been fantastic. It really, really is. And, you know, with GoToMeeting, you can schedule a meeting with just a click of the mouse, and you have a meeting in seconds. It works great. And really, the material, what you see is what they see and so forth. And you talk over your webcam. You can get a free 30-day trial, and you can get it on me by going over to GoToMeeting.com. And this is the best part. This is how easy it really is. You go over to GoToMeeting.com. You click this little orange box here where it says try it free. You click on that, okay? And then you go in here and there's three steps. First thing is put your first name, last name, your email address. You put the promo code podcast, PODCAST. You hit the continue button after you agree to the terms of service. Takes you to the next level. And you're boom, boom, you're in. You're going to get a free 30-day trial on me. Go over to GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button and use the promo code podcast to give us credit here. That's the most important thing. And hey, you get a free GoToMeeting trial. You'll be able to feel how great this product is. It's same as I do. Hey, want to share, of course, with you, if you have comments on today's show, call the show hotline at 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. And of course, if you want to email the show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, already busted out, totally long on stuff here today. And let me go ahead and get the stuff loaded for the show so we can get into the tech. because I've got a lot of stuff to cover in a hurry because I'm going to try to get you all on in your time. The event last night with the president announcing UBL's death, of course, top Twitter record. Twitter's the number of tweets going on were 3,340 tweets per second. When the president finished his announcement, over 5,000 Twitters a second were going on. So it was amazing how fast people were putting stuff up on Facebook and Twitter and so forth. Now, the folks over at Business Insider are saying that Twitter had their CNN moment. If you remember, back during the first Gulf War with Peter Arnett, those of you who can remember this, Peter Arnett was in a hotel room. CNN was the only company that stayed in Iraq. And matter of fact, all the other affiliates had dropped out and bounced. And Ted Turner, of course, the whole story about how Ted Turner started that whole network is amazing. If you ever get to really read the story of how CNN was formed, it's an amazing startup story. The guy had a lot of guts. He changed cable completely. And I don't know, you know, whatever you think of Ted Turner, it doesn't matter, but he revolutionized TV and television and cable and the news and, you know, stuff with TNN and everything else. But anyway, the folks are saying over there at Business Insider that Twitter had their CNN moment last night. I don't know if I agree. We've had lots of CNN moments with Twitter. We had the tsunami in Japan. We had the earthquake in Chile and follow-on tsunami. There's been a lot of events that really has rose Twitter to the top. So the number of people that were tweeting about UBL, of course, was high. But some say that, and there's some competition going on, that the networks knew an hour before they ever said anything on TV that UBL was dead. But there's some, you know, basically some hint of it actually come out on Twitter early. Some people say that Twitter scooped everyone. The folks at CNN say, yeah, we think we had the information first. I don't know. I'm thinking the long run here, what's going on is that pretty soon, as we know, we had this guy tweeting in Pakistan. He didn't even know what was going on. He's like, hey, there's some shooting going on over here. And I just heard this loud boom. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think Twitter jumped the shark last night? Do you think they had their CNN moment? Love to hear you guys' feedback at geeknews@gmail.com. Now, lots of analysis is going on. And they talked about the activity summary, and there's a whole breakdown of how everything happened and how the news spread. And this is over at, and this is a pretty good write-up, and I actually bring this up so you guys can see it, those of you who are watching the video. This was over at blog.sysomos.com, and it basically talks about the activity and how it started. Blog mentions, news mentions, comparisons a little bit later with the number of tweets and with the how the blogs were starting to grow on news. And then, you know, news kind of caught up on mentions, and then it just, you know, kind of exploded. And, you know, it's where it's kind of run out here is that there's been 39,796 blog mentions and 40,600. Of course, some news, I looked at CNN and Fox's website today, and it was, you know, they had 25 articles each on there. Some of the same material on the same article. I think they were just cutting and pasting stuff to try to get people to come back and read. The folks over at ABC said they had their biggest digital news day ever. I got that as a press release. I got that as a press release this afternoon. I don't know if I saved it or not in the email, but they were actually bragging about having the biggest traffic day. I think I deleted it. But they actually spent big money to send out a press release that we had our biggest digital day over the news of Osama bin Laden being killed. And so anyway, lots there. I'm sure we're probably going to be sick of it in 2 or 3 days. But it is what it is. And I think we're holding our own against the major media sources. I didn't write anything on my website. I just didn't think it would be appropriate. You guys knew I was going to talk about it today. And we'll leave it at that. Hey, let's talk just a little bit here about Firefox 5. Yeah, Firefox 5. You know, I've got one computer that doesn't even have Firefox 4 loaded yet, primarily because I can't run one specific plugin that I need for running some Amazon stuff. But Firefox 5, according to Lisa Dolzer, is looking great. And, you know, they're going to this fast release cycle. All these different browsers, including Internet Explorer and Windows and everyone else, is going to this fast release. And, of course, he's showing us slight differences between the two. And I'm like, I can really see the faint differences there. So we'll see what happens here. And, my Java plugin was blocked because of its out of date. Isn't that interesting? First time I've ever seen that. Let's talk about Sony. Oh, man. And it's being semi-confirmed at this point that Sony has lost a large number of your credit cards. And Sony Online Entertainment has apparently been the victim of another breach that, according to Nikkei.com, resulted in the release of 12,700 credit card numbers and presumably some other information about as well. 4,300 of those card numbers are said to be Japanese. I'm not saying how many are American. Now, this is attack number two. This is not attack number one. This is attack number two. The Wall Street Journal has said that the latest attack accessed personal information for a staggering 24.6 million accounts, including names, addresses, telephone numbers, email addresses, gender, date of birth, login ID, hash passwords. This is bad. This is bad, 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 bad. I would if you're a PlayStation user and you've got a credit card on file with Sony, if they haven't emailed you already and said your credit card is in danger, this is a big one. And of course they got to pull your name out of the haystack there in order to, you know, but this is not good. This is just like bam, bam, bam. It's all these companies. You know, it's just like the email of the day. We're sorry that your stuff has been hacked. We lost your data. It's every single day. Something has to change. There's some company, one company or another, that are letting us know, you know, at what point do all of us start seeing funny charges on our credit card? You know, I be honest with you, 5 years ago, I'd get my credit card bill and I would just do a quick glance. But now I go through and I highlight. My wife and I use the same card. We use a mileage card, and I go through and I highlight all my charges. If I see one that's questionable, I do a little star by it. She goes through and highlights her stuff, and we do a comparison to make sure that everything on that bill, and we only use one card when we charge everything because we get the points and I pay it off every month. And we look at that bill very, very closely. And I do a credit watch. As a matter of fact, I have something going on with the folks that have the credit watch services. I do have a thing going on that's watching there. You know, they have an online persona. You have to do that. And so I'm looking, you know, we look at that thing. And if we question a charge, it's got a funny thing, then what we do is we have a shoebox that we basically drop all receipts in. She organizes it at the end of the month. I don't have to, but we flip through it and we try to find the receipt. And if we find the receipt matched up, we mark it off. It's almost like balancing our checkbook, you know? So be careful out there, okay? Pay attention, because these shysters they'll just do a little whack at your credit card. $50 here, $25 there. You won't notice it, you know? You'll think someone, you know, and this is how they, and then you see that big whack, $8,000 for the, you know, for the fur coat that you bought in Beverly Hills, and you live in Kansas. So, you know, you get the idea. So be careful. I'm not saying Sony, it's just everybody. They've lost their minds, and they can't secure nothing. And that's one of my big worries about stuff that we're moving into with commerce systems, and we're not holding any credit card data, none of it. We're using a third party, a good company that we're very happy with, a reputable one. And, you know, if they go screw up, then we're at their mercy. But at least they have an infrastructure in place to, you know, handle some sort of an issue. All right, if you got an Android phone and you've been tethering, well, carriers today cracked down on Android tethering apps. And this is not good. So carriers in the United States started to crack down. T-Mobile and AT&T have started doing that. So if you notice that you can't tether your phone no more, you got to cough up some money for that tethering plan. And I know a lot of you tether and you don't pay for tethering. So that's what's happening. So be aware. Dun, 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 dun. This is a sad day. If you got AT&T, you now are subject to broadband caps that started on Sunday. So be very careful out there. The new limits are 150 gigs per month for DSL subscribers and 250 gigs for U-verse users. And with the change, if you go over that cap, they're going to charge you $10 for every 50 gigs you go over 150 or 250. And they really don't have a way you can check. You're just going to get billed at this point. There's no meter thing yet from what I'm hearing. So it's interesting here. Now, if you think about this, Time Warner brought in $1.13 billion in revenue from broadband customers in the first 3 months of 2011. They only spent $36 million for bandwidth, a mere 3% of revenue. So you remember Time Warner was talking about doing broadband caps? Let me say this again so you guys all hear this. Time Warner, $1.13 billion in revenue, and their bandwidth costs were only $36 million. Now, Time Warner doesn't impose caps, but they've talked about it. How much did AT&T make? Anybody look at their earnings report? How much money did they make? Do you like having caps now? Is it going to affect the way you do your online stuff, or are you just going to pay? They understand their business model is in trouble. They have to find a way to generate more revenue. They have to keep the shareholders happy. If they don't keep the shareholders happy, their stock price goes down. And their stock price goes down, the CEOs don't get a big enough bonus and get their millions of dollars in bonuses. So they have to keep inching up on the profit. And if they don't, Wall Street punishes them. It's time for communities to get together with your neighbors. Get your 50 neighbors in the neighborhood. If you live in a neighborhood that's got a cul-de-sac or something, and say, ask each one of them, how many of you are on broadband? Get a collective together. Bring in your own high-speed internet and tell the Time Warners and the AT&Ts of the world to pack sand. You know, bring in some high-speed internet. Believe me, there's a lot of companies out there that would like to provide it. I'm sure you can really work some deals. Sure, you may have to run something in your basement, but have someone else manage it. They'll do it. And I bet you get better service, higher speed internet for a lot less money. Let's talk about Google TV just a little bit. Is Google TV salvageable? Can they save Google TV? Can it be recovered? Can they pump life back into it? You know, they've already talked about increasing the processor size. They've talked about revamping the interface. They're going to be bringing Android Market to it, obviously. So what do you think? Do you think that Google TV has a prayer? What would it take to do and make the changes to Google TV to entice you to go out and buy a Google TV? We talked about this on the Saturday Morning Tech Show. Is it because the Roku is $59 and the Apple TV is $99 and you can pick up a Boxy for $199? Does that $299 price for a Google TV just completely blow it out of the water? Does Google TV have to have some sort of a, you know, where they're eating part of the profit and hope they make it up on movies and other kinds of stuff? Is that what they got to do? What do you think? What would entice you to go out and buy a Google TV? Love to hear your feedback. So send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, for those of you that live in South American countries, now we've got audience members in South America. If you live in South America, listen, please, okay? The Associated Press says that a very small percentage, less than 1%, of new Japanese cars being shipped into South American countries are carrying a small amount of radiation. The Chile says that radioactivity was found in 21 of nearly 2,500 cars that arrived aboard a Hyundai cargo ship. They say the amount of radiation was too low to cause damage. But here's my thought. Hyundai is a Korean company. It's not a Japanese car. So, I don't get it. Am I wrong? I thought Hyundai was Korean. So how can this article be right? Is it because it was on a Japanese ship? Someone's got the story wrong. I saw this headline, Japanese car slightly reactive. I thought, whoa, hold the farm. The Hyundai is made in Korea, right? I'm not kidding you. This is what it says. Look at, I'm going to bring this up on the, I got this like, hold up here. That's wrong country, wrong car manufacturer. New Japanese cars are slightly radioactive. The AP says that very small percentage of new Japanese cars, and this goes on to say, Chile says the reactivity was found in 21 of nearly 250 cars that arrived aboard the Hyundai 106 cargo ship. Okay, must be these were Japanese cars brought in on a Hyundai cargo ship. Okay, all right, we understand. All right, I had to read it closer. So it was a Korean ship bringing Japanese cars to Chile. Okay, now that's clear. That makes sense. Say, that's a long way to haul there. So, boy, we went full circle, didn't we? Anyway, you worried about that? Any Japanese cars coming to the United States? Going to buy Japanese anytime soon? I have to show this to my wife. All right, as you guys know, the SETI project has been shut down because of budget issues. And there's Alan, one of our writers at Geek News Central, put up a blog post. Basically, looking at the real cost of SETI. And what they found out here was to run one dish cost about $2.5 million or five Tomahawk missiles. Two satellite dishes or two space telescopes would be cost of one Predator drone of $4.5 million. With the Citibank executive bonus of $19.3 million, you could run one, two, three, four, looks like 7.5 dishes. So the total cost of SETI's operation is $2.5 million per year. And isn't that pretty sickening to think that we've shut SETI down due to budget issues, really for a small, measly budget of $2.5 million? Now I wonder how many geeks it would take to donate $10. Right? Could we get enough geeks to raise $2.5 million for SETI? Do you guys think SETI's important anymore? Do you think they have a chance of finding ET? I think SETI needs to, as Alan says, sign up for Kickstarter. And, you know, I'd put $10 in the pie to help the SETI folks. But one Apache helicopter, $18 million. Citibank exec, $19.3 million. Entry-level Learjet, $12.9 million. So, $2.5 million is all SETI needed, but they're done because no money. Now, a judge in, what state is he in? He's in Illinois. He's a federal judge in Illinois. Has basically taken the recent issue where there was, remember that guy that got a gun put in his face after the police raided his home after they said he was a child porn user or viewer? And basically it turns out it was his neighbor using his Wi-Fi that was the actual person that was the one that was guilty. So basically, a judge has basically seen the light on IP address issues. And so the judge is basically this guy named John Steele that has been going up after people that have actually been using or using peer-to-peer sites to download adult material. So John Steele, the main lawyer in Illinois, who has brought together a whole bunch of cases, the judge just absolutely crushed him today. And so he's rejected several of this guy's cases. He's rejected motions. And so Steele's now going to be trying to, he tried to take it to the appeals court. And so anyway, these judges are waking up to this. And they're waking up to these folks are trying to extort money out of people by getting them to settle, even though they may not be guilty. So this is good news, and hopefully we'll get these folks stopped. And if they want to sue somebody, make them go through the real process. You know, one at a time, name the person. You know, the whole nine yards. We'll see. Now, I'm not a big fan of the WikiLeaks founder. I just am not. But he says something. He made an interesting comment. He said that Facebook is the most appalling spy machine that has ever been invented. So, you know, he's still awaiting extradition to Sweden on his charges that's against him. But apparently Russia Today interviewed him and getting his viewpoints on a bunch of political stuff. But what do you guys think about his statement saying that Facebook is the most appalling spy machine that has ever been invented? You know, that's pretty true. They, you know, Facebook, you whoever you friended, they know your life. And it's, you know, if you post hardly anything in there at all, you know, it's pretty public. So what do you guys think? What do you think? His comments make sense? Or, you know, love to hear your feedback on that. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, is 619-342-7365. The CEO of Google is explaining how Google hires. And this is a thing I think I read through this. And here's a couple of things. I'll just get to the point that made me laugh. He says, be exceptional. Well, of course, if you're going to go to work for any company, you got to be exceptional. Number two, do your own thing. He says, best employees are those who don't need much managing. I agree. Less management is better. Go do it. Get it done. Make it happen. Don't necessarily have a winning personality. I guess he's not going to be hiring Charlie Sheen. Really love job interviews. Now get this. Interviews will be relieved to hear. The company is streamlining its interview process. Schmidt said that Google has brought poor saps in as many as 16 times before ultimately releasing them back to the wild. Now, he says, Google has analyzed the process and determined a decision should be able to be made in interviews. You're going to know if you're going to hire somebody by the end of interview two. You know, I can't imagine going five interviews. Who has to interview someone five times? Wow. Well, we can make, instead of 16, we can do it in five. That's some serious efficiency. It really is. Hey, you're going to love this. Sony has declined to testify in a congressional hearing. And here's what they've said. A Sony spokesman sent an email message. Sony is cooperating with a request to answer the committee's questions and, in fact, will be providing a response in advance of the deadline. We informed the committee that we could not appear as early as this Wednesday because of our ongoing intensive investigation and management of this criminal cyber attack. Wow. Wow. I mean, you can't send an exec. You've been asked to appear before the Committee on Energy and Commerce. You have been summoned to Washington. You are a major Fortune 500 company. And you can't send a single person there to talk to representatives? I don't care if you're in the middle of a crisis. You have 25 million people's credit card information and personal info that has been stolen. Wow. What do you think? I don't know. I think they should be there. I really do. Okay. Twitter is testing new text ads. You know, I thought about trying to see if I could buy some ads on Twitter. I went and looked at their process. You have to have a big bankroll. You can't do a Twitter ad on a specific keyword for anything less than like 6 digits. It is insane. Insane how much it costs to advertise on Twitter. They don't care about the small guys. All they're going after is the big guys. And I guess for all of us, probably that's good. But I would definitely love to buy an ad anytime someone said new media or podcast. But big, big, big bucks. Maybe this new ad spot will be cheaper. Microsoft has unveiled a new set of tools for iOS developers to help them port their apps over to Windows Phone 7 as part of its ongoing attempt to court developers to its new mobile operating system. The new API is out, so this may help them, but some folks are saying, hey, you just need to sell more phones if you want to get developers to support you. Here's the thing. Here's a little secret. Sure, there might be how many of a million phones have been sold, but if you're one of just a few apps and it's a good app, how many sales do you need? Need a million sales at $2? Sounds like a pretty good payday. Smart people with smart apps or good apps are going to be on Windows Phone 7 early and cash in, because if there's a limited number of apps, your chances of being discovered is much higher than the 225,000 that are on iTunes. Makes sense to me if I was an app developer. A good question being asked on PC World. Who owns your location? Does Google own it? Does Microsoft? Does AT&T? Does Sprint? T-Mobile? Verizon? Who owns your location? Do you own it? It's obviously not, based upon what's been happening recently. Android's tracking you. iPhone's tracking you. The only people that have been accused of tracking so far is the folks at BlackBerry. So the question is, who owns that data? And what are they going to do with it? Do you think you own it? I don't think we do anymore, folks. I don't. As much as it bothers me. And here's really the end line. Google, Microsoft, Apple have all had outrageous answers over how they control your location data. And it makes me very nervous. And if you want to use it, then they have to track you. If you want to use your GPS, then they have to track you. You have to opt in. So maybe it's time to go back and buy some of those old school GPS devices that don't call home to mama. Big court ruling today for NVIDIA. And really, this is a class action suit. And basically what happened is that even though NVIDIA is going to have to, you're going to get some money, the clients are going to get some very small, basically, award. And, but anyway, this was over some stuff that was going on with NVIDIA, and I hadn't been following this, but a bunch of people are up in arms over it today. So just another one of those class action lawsuits. It's going more for the vendor than the people. I saw something here on Old Gizmo talking about airplane earplugs. And I'm just going to do this as a little bit of a warning. How many of you have used those little yellow earplugs? Okay, they're showing you some airplane earplugs that they want to charge you $24.50 for. You can buy a set of four. And they say, oh, these, they got pressure relief on them. And let me tell you, I flew for 20 years, okay? I flew for 20 years, and you know those little yellow foamy roll-ups? Don't worry. Put those in your ear. If you're flying, you want to deaden the sound a little bit, they'll be fine, okay? You're not going to have to worry about pressure buildup. They leak enough. I've never had an issue using a yellow foamy. That's what I call them, a yellow foamy in my ear flying for 20 years. Don't spend this $24.50 to buy these. It's not worth it. It really isn't. No one has ever gotten complained about having ear pressure. And if you do, just pull it out. You feel it's uncomfortable, but you're not going to hear the psh or nothing like that. It doesn't happen, okay? So anyway, just Save your money. Don't buy these, all right? Okay, next article up. Tactical pants is basically, you've been looking for pants to put your iPad in? Well, if you go over to Tactical Pants blog, you're going to find some pants over there that have the perfect iPad pocket, all right? So if you're looking for a pocket for your iPad, you can pick some of these up, and it's from Tactical Pants. And what is the price on these things? They don't say how much they are, but they'll give you the link to them. And you can buy the black or khaki. They call it Katana. Okay, whatever. Katana and Genuine Gear Tactical Pants. So I'm sorry. I'm not going to carry. It just looks, that's the ultimate nerd thing. Hey, that's happy to see me, or is that your iPad in your pocket? You know, come on. You know, the first thing you're going to do is one guy, he's got it behind him. Someone's going to steal it. Number two, you're going to sit on it and crush it. Number three, it's, you know, if it's on the side of your leg, you're going to whack it against something. And fourth, you just look like a dork. You know, I'm sorry. Put it in a backpack. You know, be cool. Don't, okay, if you want to wear these, it's fine with me, but the circle pants for your iPad, I'm sorry, I just don't get it. Now, here's something I can really get into, and this is this tells what generation I grew up in. Remember the black lights? Well, now you can get a black light iPhone dock. Back in the 70s, you can have a little, you know, that little black light action going on with the posters you used to buy. I remember they used to, when they were in the rack, you could get them. They said, basically, black light, you know, you can buy, use these with your black light. $149. No. My son may want one of these. He'll see it, but not for $149. But anyway, a couple of cool things on old Gizmo. And anyway, hey, did you know that... I don't use my Windows machine to make phones on Google Voice, but did you know there's a feature in Windows 7 that will actually reduce the volume of other sounds by 80% when you're actually making a phone call via your PC? And I don't know if this is under the sound section in settings. So basically, go into Control Panel, click on Sound. You're going to see playback, recording, sounds, and communications. On the communications window, you're going to see the button there to reduce the volume of other sounds by 80% when you're making a call. Because the last thing you want to do when you're making a call on your computer is hear the ding of email coming in or something like that. So be full aware of that. Hey, Google is making changes to Google Apps. Of course, I use Google Apps a lot. And this kind of bugs me a little bit. But basically, if you need more than 10 user accounts, you're going to have to now start paying for it when you create a Google Apps account. If you already got one and you got 50 email accounts or 50 user accounts on it, you're not going to have to pay. But you're going to have to, if you sign up for a new account and want more than 10, you're going to have to pay for the pro services at Google Apps. So Google is looking for some money, that's for sure. If you're using Dropbox, pretty cool ideas on three different ways to use Dropbox in a way you may not know about. I have a link up in the show notes on that. So those of you that are Dropbox users, you can give that a whirl. How many of you have really worried about jailbreaking your Apple device? You're afraid it's going to bust your warranty? There's a great article on makeofuseof.com talking about the pros and cons of avoiding your warranty by jailbreaking your phone. I have a link up in the show notes for you to check that out. So if you've been sitting on the fence, this may give you some ideas on which way to go. Got a cool video. Don't know. Do I have time? I really don't have time here to play this for you. This is on Universe Today. It's a time-lapse video of the shuttle RSS retract. And, of course, the RSS is the rotating service structure. It's the structure that sets up against the shuttle before the launch when they're getting servicing and getting the shuttle ready to go. And then it opens up and actually, you know, puts the backside of the shuttle free and clear so they can launch it. Pretty cool video on this. I think there was also an announcement made today that the next shuttle launch is going to be on the 10th of May. So I'll reconfirm that for you. I think maybe I have a link here later. But a couple more things. I found something on space.com that talks about, shows a video that Hubble captured. It's basically two asteroids that collided together and the explosive force and the aftermath of it. So I have that in the show notes for you to check out. It's another video. Oh, here's the actual launch date. Yeah, May 10th. What time? Have they announced the time yet? No. Oh, yes. May 10th at 11:21 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So about the same launch time. So they got to get that thing fixed. So we're looking 8 days. So that is a week from Tuesday, I guess. So we'll keep our keep you advised on that. Couple articles here from Tech Dirt. The judge has basically, some more judges starting to look at Righthaven. We've talked about them. They're under fire some more. So, I don't think Righthaven's going to be much longer for this world in suing people. So that's something to cheer about. But here's something that's not something to cheer about. The National Hockey League seems to think that basically rooting for your team is infringement. Now, check this out. The National Hockey League's legal department has threatened a car dealership for having posted decals on its windows saying, "Go Canucks, go Canucks, go," and cheering on the Canucks in the NHL playoffs. And this is what they sent to the car dealer. "Consumers are likely to be misled that the Vancouver Canucks have an official relationship with your dealership," NHA legal counsel Kelly Lynch wrote in a letter. So basically saying, take the little signs off your cars. You can't root for your team no more. Root for your team. But that's not it. A radio station in Vancouver has also received a cease and desist letter from the NHL claiming that a contest it was airing violated the NHL's intellectual property. The problem? The radio station was letting fans of Canucks take a sledgehammer to a van that was painted with the logos of the opposing team that the Canucks were facing. And of course, they're saying that the use of the logos is infringing. Why don't those fans just not go and buy any tickets and not go to the game? Can't cheer for the team. So let's stay home and not watch TV and boycott. The NHL has got to quit smashing and squashing people and the NFL and the NBA, everyone else. They need to quit making their fans upset. If I lived up there and heard about this, I wouldn't go. And I would make it very public that I wasn't going because of this ridiculous attitude. It's just insane. It really is. It just goes on and on and on and on. All right. Let's talk about some stuff going on in the UK. And those of you that live in the UK, listen up. It appears that some copyright law is being reviewed again in the UK. Now, you know, this was just done 5 years ago. And, of course, most of the key points that they came up in the original study were ignored. But apparently that the UK copyright industry are saying that fair use was a bad idea. And fair use would put a chokehold on innovation. Okay, fair use is going to put a chokehold on innovation. That's interesting. So now the new committee has decided not to support an American-style fair use law in the UK. And they've bought some ridiculous claims from the entertainment industry that fair use is a problem because it leads to a lot of lawsuits. Yeah. People, they're saying, that are making content are saying that if you take a paragraph out of our content, you put it on your website, we're going to sue you for copyright infringement because it's not fair use. It's like the company at Righthaven that doesn't own any copyright, but you put a paragraph of the company they're working with to extort money out of, you put a paragraph of the content on your website, they're going to sue you for your domain name, your servers, for your livelihood, because you've used a paragraph of their content with even giving an attribution. It's the big media companies are trying to squash fair use. In the UK, you guys are in trouble. According close to Social Review, the panel decided fair use would be too problematic to replicate from scratch in UK law. Because it emerged from a number of US case law precedents, fair use, which is employed as a defense against infringement claims in the U.S., has also given a rise to a high volume of litigation. So in other words, you're not going to have no fair use. Unbelievable. Now, the White House has published a special report that whines about any country with a more enlightened view on intellectual property. So the USTR has come out with an annual report. And of course, the USTR is the United States Trade Representative, has come out with a 2011 special report. And basically that says these countries are being naughty on IP and they aren't living up to our standards. And they have a watch list, like a terrorist watch list. They have an IP watch list. Who's on it? Venezuela, Belarus, Bolivia, Brazil, Brunei, Colombia, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Ecuador, Egypt, Finland, Greece, Guatemala, Italy, Jamaica, Kuwait, Lebanon, Malaysia, Mexico, Norway, Peru, Philippines, Romania, Spain, Tajikistan, Turkey, Turkmenistan, Ukraine, Uzbekistan, Vietnam. 42 pages of who is on the IP watch list. We're watching you, Colombia. We're watching you, Mexico, Brazil, and Brunei. We're watching you. You're evil. You have intellectual property violations that we do not like. This is directed by a report that's required that the president has to put out every year. A watch list for IP. Next thing, they're going to be labeling them as terrorists, aren't they? Want to know how do you monitor your bandwidth usage if you're on AT&T? Well, a lot of people want to know that too. And you're going to have trouble unless you've got certain routers. So I'll have a link up here to this Slashdot article that may give you some ideas. Last couple of articles for you tonight here real quick. Better brain wiring linked to family genes. So for those of you a little smarter, apparently you inherited good genes from your parents and your brain's wired a little bit better and allow you to perform a little bit better than the rest of us. So that is an article on PhysOrg. Next article is from basically talking about setting up a seed box. We've talked about this before. So if you ever wanted to set up a virtual private server and actually to get the peer-to-peer seeds, they got a full blown instructions on how to do this over extremetech.com. Hear about this guy that survived 96 minutes without a pulse. He's one lucky dude. They knew how to do CPR on him, and this is remarkable. He got shocked 11 times and finally got a weak pulse and got him back, got his ticker working. But they talk about some technology they're using right now called capnography. It's basically measuring the CO2 level of your blood. So this is pretty good. This is a good write-up. So those of you that are following what's going on in the medical field, you can watch this. Hey, AT&T to give Groupon Facebook a run for the money. They're going to be doing a $10 promotion for Daily Deal site. So I'm sure you want to go support AT&T right now. But they're going to have some coupons going on over at the Daily Deal site. So keep an eye out for that. Twitter's going to be buying TweetDeck for $40 million. You knew that was coming. So $40 million. Wow, what a deal. So a nice acquisition here. But $40 million is what Twitter's going to pay for it. They're burning some of their cash that they've got. Google's experimenting with voice search on Google.com. Not a lot of info about this yet, but they are experimenting. And at some point, you're going to be able to basically speak to your computer, and Google will just go ahead and search for you. The white iPhone is not thicker than the black iPhone. They did some measurement. It's 0.370 microns, or actually 0.370 millimeters, it looks like. So is that right? Millimeters? No, 0.370 millimeters. 0.370 inches thick. So they use a micrometer on it. Anyway, just to let you know there. What else? That guy that we talked about earlier in the show, who is actually tweeting about the attack on Osama bin Laden's compound. Apparently his website got hacked, and anyone that visited it probably has some malware on their computers now. So if you've followed him and you went over to his website, you want to check your computer close. Sadly, it appears there's another Japanese nuke plant leaking radiation. This is a completely different facility. They're saying over there everything's fine, no problem. Okay, but new radiation levels have been detected out of, where's this one at? I have to have my wife help me here. Sugara nuclear plant is oozing radiation. So that tragedy continues over there. And last couple of things, iOS 4.33 is rumored to be coming within the next 2 weeks. Going to fix the location tracking issue. Last article for the night is Firefox has broke the 10% mark and utilization. So congratulations to Firefox. Okay, got a lot of, got some voicemails here to go into. So let's get into that right now so we don't run long here. But again, if you've got comments on the show, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. I've got, first voicemail came from the last show. We didn't get to play, so I'll go ahead and play that. Now I think I've got everything plugged in. We'll see how this goes. Whoa.
I love the new Wi-Fi capabilities on AT&T cell phone. And my wife has an AT&T Wi-Fi connectable phone. She can connect to Google Voice on her phone here at the house off of our Wi-Fi. And in the event that she can't get a signal through the cell phone carrier, but she can connect Wi-Fi, she can place phone calls over Google Voice without using her minutes and also without having to be connected to the AT&T network. I thought that is a pretty awesome deal, and I would like to see that posted on your podcast next week, because that is a feature that many people would use, which is free of charge, to where they can actually get out and make a phone call as long as they have Wi-Fi connection, regardless of network availability for the AT&T network.
Right.
May the Lord richly bless you in all you do, and I hope to see this on your podcast soon. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call, and I'm sorry the volume was messed up there at the beginning. Missed your first name. I'll go back and review that, but thanks for the info on that, and absolutely a good feature that people can use when they have Wi-Fi available but not yet have a basically no signal from the cell service. All right, let's go ahead and go into the next call.
Well, aloha, Todd. Mike Thomas calling from Naples, Florida.
Hey, Mike.
I enjoy your show immensely, but I do have a few frustrations, like trying to listen to your video podcast from yesterday that you recorded in Honolulu, and it keeps bringing up yesterday, or last Monday's podcast. So I'm a little disappointed. I've been reading your notes, and I'd love to hear the rest of the story. Second point, Gadget Professor is a great program, but at least on my iPad, when I try to load it up, there's a streaming hesitation that is kind of annoying. That particular problem does not exist on program that you anchor, the tech program. So just thought that might be helpful, and just to let us know when we can access the new program, a new podcast. I'm just a little unsure. And it's a little frustrating, but nonetheless, I enjoy your program and great commentary. I especially liked your comments on AT&T. Same thing here in Florida. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. And the main thing is on the show is the audio is always available first, and then the video follows 6, 8, 9 hours later, depending on how fast we're able to get it processed and uploaded. And if I forget to hit upload before I go to bed and so forth. But you'll definitely, again, come to geeknesscenter.com, click on the podcast link, and that'll be the quickest way to find the latest shows and content if you actually want to watch on the web. So that, of course, you can always catch the audio stuff if you get impatient. I appreciate you watching the video portion of the show. That's do thank you for that. But let the Gadget Professor know. Matter of fact, we know on episode 4 we had some problems with one of his encodings. So I'm hoping on episode 5 that wasn't the case. So if you want to let me know if episode 5 is doing the same thing, please drop me a line and we'll look at how he's encoding. Again, I don't control his production process, but I definitely will give him feedback. And you definitely send him an email too at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. He will definitely like the feedback for the show as well. So thanks for calling, Mike. All right, let's go ahead and play the last voicemail, and then we'll get into the emails.
Hey, Todd, this is Joshua. I was calling to see if anybody has heard whether or not Google is going to extend their free Google Voice this upcoming year. If you would, please include this in your show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, I don't know if Google Voice is going to be extending that for free or not. So that's a good question. We'll see what we can find out about that. If anybody has heard anything, please let me know, and we'll get some feedback into the show. All right, let's go ahead. I got a couple of emails here. I got an email from Jeffrey Ramsey, one of our longtime listeners of the show. He said, hey, Todd, he said, I thought about you when Clark Howard mentioned this. Since you travel so much, Priceline Bidding at the Bidding Traveler at biddingtraveler.com. He says, Jeffrey, your longtime listener, the ex-business owner of J.R. Lock & Key in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Of course, Jeffrey was shot a number of years ago, and he has had a spinal cord injury and has essentially been paralyzed. And Jeffrey is bedridden. But Jeffrey, thanks. We hope that you're doing well. And you know, I know that you are in pain much of the time, but I definitely think about you, and I hope this finds you well. But thanks for sending me the link on thebiddingtraveler.com. Maybe it'll save me some money. I'll let you know if it does. I definitely appreciate it. Got an email here from Robert. He says, hey, Todd, being a faithful listener, I know you mentioned often about use of torrents and related news in the area. I do not recall offhand if you ever mentioned a site called Bitlet, BITLET.org. It's a site that may interest you or perhaps some of your listeners. What they do is allow you to download a torrent from online without a need of a client installed on your computer. You can also use a bookmarklet for your browser and also an extension for Chrome discussed on their blog. But what caught my attention was that you can also play an MP3 file there just by pasting in the torrent link. Also available is torrent video streaming, which uses the new HTML5 video tag, which I do not completely understand, but I'm sure you will. That's cool. One more thing of interest, if you have a torrent link, say of your podcast or your video, you can generate an embed link for your website that a visitor can use to download the file with no need of software installed on their computer. I can see a use for this service for legal torrents. Take care, Robert out of Tennessee. Hey, this is a good one, and I'll be definitely checking them out. We've used a service like this once before, kind of like that, but definitely check bitlet.org out. Got an email from Thomas here. Say, hey, Todd, in recent months, I've heard you talk about cars and their problems. You want an electric car, but they're a bit expensive and don't have enough range. Gas is getting more expensive. Trains are greener than gas vehicles, but what do you do when you get to the destination station? You have to take a taxi or wait for a bus. He says, I'm sounding like an advertisement. I have nothing. So I came across this link to a solution to all this, and it's even super high tech. And how it works is a car that can drive on a regular road, but can also drive on powered tracks that are computer controlled. Around the neighborhood, you stay on the road, but you cross town, you use the tracks. Privacy, convenience of your own vehicle with the advantage of a train, the dual mode transport system would solve all these problems. Relive congestion of freeway, enable those who otherwise couldn't travel to where I live, it would reduce collisions with wildlife on the road. Thomas, you ought to hear a story I can tell you about being on a railroad track one day. All I can say was we had a lot of fun. I'll just go into it sometime, but it's worthy of a good laugh. You know, it wasn't me, but it was a buddy of mine that I was with. So anyway, long story, but I'll tell you about it another time. I got an email here from Nier. He says, Todd, I read your buzz about Whistle and wondered if Whistle's audio is not great, you can always use Google Talk. Google quality is excellent. And hey, the price is the same. That's it. That's all we got tonight, folks. And that did okay. Hour 13. So, hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. Thanks for watching the show. And I hope you're finding the show entertaining and informational. Let me know about, give me feedback on how we're doing here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. That's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And of course, email, well, you know, it's universal. But we'll be back with you Thursday night for a Friday day release. Alejandro, thanks for being here. The power stayed on, and actually, I'm looking out the window. I can see a star, so it must be the storm has moved on. All's quiet here in Honolulu. It's cooled off. It's nice. We're going to have a great evening. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.